Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 210. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And this week we are here with our review of Crawl. And then after that, we're going to do our like mid-year report card that we always do. A couple of weeks late, kind of. But I'm happy that it's a little late because it allowed me to add some movies. It's been kind of, well, we'll get into it, but I think it's been kind of a really rough start to the year. But let's start with Crawl, Chris. And this is the new film from, I've heard his name pronounced Alexander Aja, so, which seems counterintuitive to me, but
we'll go with that.
We'll go with that. I could be saying it completely wrong, which is crazy because he's a director I really like. He's like one of my favorite horror directors, probably.
Yeah.
You know, he did he did High Tension. He yep. did The Hills Have Eyes remake, which I really like. And he did that like reboot of Piranha.
Or right, whatever. The Piranha 3D.
Yeah. And it seems like it's been a while. And he's back with this movie about a woman and her father trapped in a crawl space during a hurricane because there's gators in the fucking crawl space with them. And so this is like a really tight 88-minute thriller about these people trying to survive the storm as well as the gators. It stars, I don't know this actress, it's Kaya Scodelario.
Yep.
And Barry Pepper, who I know from stuff. He's usually like usually like the friend in a lot of movies, or he's kind of a douchey side character.
Yep.
And he plays the father here. I actually really like Barry Pepper, and so it's good to see him like kind of like in a kind of like feature role in this film. But yeah, it's basically this girl goes to check on her dad, and in the middle of a in the middle of this like hurricane, because he's not answering his phone, and they get trapped in this horrifying situation. And I thought this movie's a lot of fun. What do you think, Chris?
I also think it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's as you said, it's a tight 80 some minutes, like 85 minutes or so.
Yeah, it's very short.
It gets to the point pretty quickly. The tension ramps up, which is something that this director does great. I think it visually looks pretty good. It's just fun. Like, it's a fun movie. There's some good crocodile kills that work real well. They spoil one of them, I guess, in the trailer, but there's some other ones that are really good and fun. So
yeah, I think I know the one you're talking about in the trailer, but
I see it, the police officer like at the entrance to the crawl space.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was thinking of actually a different one where he like kind of spins around in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that they do show that in the trailer. Yeah, I would agree with you that I think the effects look pretty good here. There's like it's a lot of CGI or whatever. A lot of I think the gators are all CG, and all the storm effects.
Yeah, and I mean it's a low budget movie, like comparatively, like it's.
It doesn't look like shit though. Like I was convinced, and I actually, to be honest, I found the storm itself to be a pretty like scary like thing. And kind of like I've always wanted to move to Florida. I know I'm nuts, but
multiple reasons not to do that.
Well, like people be like, "What about the hurricanes down there?" I'm like, "I ain't afraid of some rain." And here it's like, even if I got flooded, I guess I don't think I would be scared of that. Like, I feel like I could figure out a way to survive.
Yeah, but like everything in the area is also trying to kill you.
Yes, and like I never factored in that there could be gators like swimming around, and there surely would be. It's Florida, so that kind of worked on me. I mean, it is kind of, I asked you afterwards, you're like, yeah, it's dumb fun. And like, it is kind of like ridiculous and over the top, but like the movie doesn't like in my opinion, play it.
It doesn't play itself as dumb. Like it's not Piranha. Like Piranha knew it was stupid, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This one doesn't necessarily like play itself as stupid, but like everybody in the movie is a fucking idiot. they do.
Yeah, so, it's, like, you know, some things can seem improbable.
Yeah, well, and like this, like the whole thing, right? Like the whole premise of it comes on because her dad makes like an idiot decision to go like work on their old house. In like as this hurricane is coming, like knowing that like the town's gonna have to be evacuated,
yeah.
Like, and he like you know whatever, I'm gonna go work on the house, and I don't know how he ended up under the crawl space. I guess he was working on some plumbing or something, and you know the house had been abandoned for a while, and there just happened to be an alligator nest down there. It's like it's not dumb in the sense that like. Oh, like, you know, these people are stupid and like the movie is playing itself like as a comedy. Like it plays itself pretty straightforward. Like it's not playing for the comedy angle.
It's kind of like you have to make some little leaps of logic and stuff. You have to like kind of leap here and there. But also, you know, once it gets going, I was kind of just into it, you know. I do think there's one thing.
Oh, for sure.
I think there was like one thing to me, like what kind of thing that's kind of bad I could say. It was like you spent a lot of time in the crawl space, which was like as I was watching it, I'm like, oh, now I get the title. I had no idea. I was like, I guess it's referring to the. I mean, it is referring to the alligators as well, but.
But for the most part, like I mean, they are crawling in some early scenes, but like once that water starts rising, they're swimming. I think the crawl space is more. I think the name for the title is more about that crawl.
Yeah,
space.
And so you're in there a long time, which it helps keep the budget down. But then also, you know, I wanted to get out of there. You know, and I do think that like when you're down in the crawl space, it does kind of feel like I don't know the layout of it. It's hard to explain the layout cinematically. You know what I mean? Like it's just a bunch of pipes and shit. And so it's just like you get that there's an area where they're safe and then there's an area where they're not.
Yeah, and it's but all
I
like,
I felt a little lost in the geography sometimes.
Yeah. And even some of that, it's like, well, like if they're safe there, but there's also a secondary entrance to that area. Like, why are they still safe? Like, like some of it just didn't work. Yeah. But like you throw that away almost immediately because it's not really necessary. In fact, the disorientation that the viewer has that we had watching it works to its benefit. Cause it's like, cause you're just as confused as, you know, the main characters are trying to get away from these, and they know the house, but it's still like this terrifying situation and they're kind of panicking a bit. So I think it works itself pretty well.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't know. I just think it's a fun time. Like to me, like at my reaction, I remember I wrote like afterwards, I'm like, it kind of felt like a thrill ride. Like it was like, you have the setup, and once you're in the setup, we're just gonna do every kind of thing we could come up with these people in a house with gates. And it feels like the movie runs through all the ideas it had, including like a really cool bathroom scene, like that's kind of in the trailer where
that
one's she's on one side of the shower and the alligator's on another. It kind of goes through all these scenarios like that, and then. You know, it respects your time. It's just like once it goes through all those, it's like the end. It kind of ends on actually kind of like a lame freeze frame, in my opinion, or whatever. But I mean, but it was just like I felt that final shot coming because I'm like, this movie's just gonna get in, get out, and say, I hope you had a good time. Yeah,
there's no resolution. It's like, all right, well, like we've reached the end of our story, which is fine.
Yeah, like we did all our tricks that we came to see, and it's over now. And I do really love like the ticking clock aspect of this. Like you have the tension of the gators are keeping them like kind of trapped in this basement. They're like they're trapped behind these pipes, but also you have the ticking clock working against them, where the storm is coming and the water's rising. And so it's like, again, this director is very good with suspense to begin with, but he has like dual tensions building in this. And I think he does, he's great with this stuff. And so he does, I think, a really good job.
Great. Because at some point there, you know, you reach that apex where it's like, something has to happen.
Yeah. The movable force or movable wall, whatever.
Yeah. So,
how's the phrase go?
We have to push to that point, and they do a really good job and creating like the tension there and making it exciting, to watch, her escape and rescue her dad. So.
Yeah. And the one other thing I want to make sure to mention before we get into like scores and all that is I did like one thing. Another thing like is like I kind of expect a little more gore out of Aja, or like intensity to the horror. And this is just more like a fun monster movie. And it's like there's some cool, like there's at least one really cool like I think kind of gore shot, but it's shot from far away. I think you could probably guess what I'm thinking of.
In the house, in the back.
No, it's like an overhead shot.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
It's a good kill. But one of the many people that like show up and just get destroyed. I think, one more thing is I think it does a good job of making you feel like neither of them are really safe. It feels like they could get taken out at any time. Like the script doesn't care. There's specific examples I can think of that, but I think they're also kind of spoilery.
Yeah, but they're
too. Like, where it's like, I don't know, man. The dad might go at any second. Like,
well, and then you also could get that feel. Like, I mean, what's her name, Haley, the daughter. Like, there's also moments where you're like, okay, they're gonna switch this. Like, she's kind of been the character we've been following, but they're gonna turn this on its head. She's gonna go down, and like either her dad's gonna have to rescue her, or she might just die, and then it turns into like a revenge film.
And it's like Aja has put me through the ringer before, so I'm like it could happen. Anything could happen. So
right, and he keeps you on your toes. Which makes for, like, even though it ends up being a pretty standard...
Very conventional, yeah.
Yeah. It keeps you, what could happen here? Like, because you don't know where he's going with it. Which plays real well. So many films are like, I know exactly how this is going to end. And with this, you're like, I don't know, one of them is going to probably, like, make it through the hurricane. But, how.
So for me, I actually, I came away from it going, that was a fun time. And, but it's hard to give like a super high score because it's not trying to do a lot. It's just trying to be this fun little, kind of like almost like a little like sci-fi movie, but like kind of elevated. And I mean sci-fi, like the TV channel or whatever. I'm going up a little bit because like the more I thought about the movie, I'm just like, this is a good time. It's a damn shame that it seems like nobody, like when I went to go see it, I think there was 5 people in the theater. It was like a 5 o'clock screening on the weekend, but still, it was opening weekend and it was kind of dead.
Yeah, which is a shame because there really isn't any. I mean, outside of Spider-Man, there's really nothing up against it. I think people would like, if you enjoy, these types of horror films, it's pretty damn fun.
It's like this would have been like I would love to have seen this with a packed house, because people will be reacting. Like, this is the type of movie I want people talking and reacting at it. You know what I mean?
There's it is one that would get reactions. Like,
Was your screen dead too?
Yeah. Well, we had a little more than 5 people, but I also went like 5 o'clock opening day. So, okay. Right after I got out of work, so it's before kind of like the Friday night movie crowd shows up. But there are some moments in the film, like, really early on, like the first time you see the gator, Like, it came out of nowhere.
There's fun jump scares.
Yeah, it's a great jump scare. And it's like, holy shit, like, that got me. Like, I'm usually kind of prepared for it. And seeing that with people that aren't prepared for horror, like, that would have just been great. She would have got, like, a giant reaction out of that scene, so...
I'm really sad that, and, you know, of course, it was just, I went on Saturday at 5 o'clock, and it was probably me and a couple horror hounds, you know, like a guy had dragged his girlfriend, it seemed like, and then two other, like, older people. That was it. Like, you know, it was me and two couples, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not doing terrible, but yeah, it's not like it's.
Yeah, it looks like it made its money at least. Yeah. This is designed to see with like a nice big crowd, and it's just too bad. Again, I've been thinking about it a lot. I just really admire it for just being short, quick, fun, no bullshit, and kind of felt like a return from this director. I'm gonna give it 4 stars, Chris.
I'm gonna go with 3, but I could totally see like where you're coming from with that rating. Yeah, it's like I think it's a fun movie. I will watch it again.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking about this actually before this episode. I'm like, I know out of the movies I've seen this year, I will buy probably Midsommar. Like, if I could get it on 4K, I'll buy it at 4K. And I was thinking about this one. It's like, I actually might buy this one because it's just a fun movie. It's like,
this is one.
Go ahead.
This is one that, like, I would. Oh, like you have friends over or something. It's like, you know, not really sure what to do. So instead check of like,
this out.
It's like, it's like, hey, I got a movie with gators. It's not super gory. So like, it's not like a lot of my friends are gonna be like, I'm not really a big fan of that. But like, hey, this one's fun. Like, you liked Piranha.
You have friends that are gore hounds, or are you saying they aren't gore?
No, they're not. Like they like like most of them are just like. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. Same.
And this is like, I don't want to say like mainstream, but it is like it fits into that mainstream horror. But it's so because of the way he directs and is able to frame shots and pace films. I think it works better than most mainstream horror films. And at 85 minutes long, like, hey, you can't go wrong with that. Like, grab a couple beers, you sit down, and like, you can even talk over the movie at that
point. Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. It's like the plot is like very visual, and you know, it's So yeah, you make a great point. So yeah, I probably will be getting this, but anyways, yeah, that's our review of Crawl. If it's still in theaters by the time this posts, which who knows, go see it.
Yeah, totally agree. All right,
so let's run down what some of our favorite films of the year so far. I did my usual. I just did a 5-1, so we'll do 5 each. How does that sound to you, Chris?
That works.
All right, and I bet you if you do have a number one, I think I could guess what yours is, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
But yeah, before we get into it, I'm just gonna say that. I think it's been a pretty rough start to the year. I kind of said that at the top of the show. I think it's not been a super great movie year. And I think a lot of these choices that I have right now might not survive if we have a good back half. But we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of things coming in the back half to be really excited about, obviously. Hopefully this year turns around a little bit. I mean, did you have any thoughts on like how it's going so far? Are you as grim as me about it or...?
It's okay.
It's okay. It's a lot of okay.
Like, only a couple films have, like, really kind of, like, impressed me. Like, everything that, done this on my top five, like, I gave 4 stars to, but I haven't given 5 stars to anything all year.
I know, but there you go. I mean, I think it speaks to what I'm saying, right?
Like, yeah, and, like, these are really good movies, I think, but... Also, there's nothing. It's like this is, going to be like an all-time classic.
Yeah, and so before we get into it, for mine, I've given only 2 of these 5 stars. The rest were, I think, four. But yeah, dude. Anyways, I will start off my list with my number five. And I'm not gonna have to say anything about this one because my number five is Crawl.
Fair enough.
We just talked about it. What's your number five, Chris?
My number five is Fighting With My Family, which is
Oof.
the Florence Pugh
Yes.
vehicle for it was kind of the dramatized biopic of WWE wrestler Paige. I thought like it works real well. It's funny. I think it's kind of hits the right heartfelt notes, and I enjoy like Florence Pugh's performance in it. That was, I think, the first time I've seen her ever.
Yeah, I
Then
think
she
for a
showed
lot
up
of
later
people.
in the year, but
Yeah.
it's I really liked it. I enjoyed the subject matter. Like, it's like professional wrestling, not going to be for everybody. But I also think that this one, like, it works as a pretty good sports movie,
Yeah.
and it's fun.
I haven't seen it yet, but that was my guess for what your number one would be. Because
Oh.
I've heard a lot of goodwill towards that film.
Yeah, I really like it. I don't want to say it's something special, but I compared to a lot of the other films that have come out this year, like it's upbeat, which isn't necessarily you don't necessarily need something with a positive ending to it, but
I need it right
yeah,
now.
it's been that year, right? It's been a year of
Yeah.
it's been a rough year, and having like a good feel good movie kind of works for me right now.
Right. Good. I'm gonna go to my number four. My number four is Us.
Okay.
Again, I wish I'm blanking on his name completely right now, the director.
Jordan Peele.
Yes. Again, I still wish Jordan Peele would embrace a harder edge to his horror, his horror in terms of like the violence. But this is a spectacularly made film. You know, like it's a lot of fun. It was like probably like the first early highlight of the year for me.
Oh, for sure.
And so yeah, I love. I just love it. It just feels like it's nice to have some big mainstream horror too, you know? And that's kind of what this is. Like, this is like Spielberg type feeling horror, you know?
Yeah.
I just wish someone could have the balls to mix that with the extreme gore that I love. But as it is, you know, it sticks to what it is and it's pretty cool. It's interesting. I think it was a good follow-up to Get Out.
Yeah, and I think that's a good kind of like takeaway from his stuff is that it's not that hardcore horror. There's elements of it in it, but he's mostly making and it's not surprising considering he's producing The Twilight Zone, but it's almost like making like hour and a half, 2 hour episodes of The Twilight Zone here, 'cause like Get Out very like very that vibe, and Us too, like has a weird kind of twisty take on reality, and mixes stuff that happens in the real world into this with this kind of sci-fi horror element. So
Yeah, he very, he, you know, yeah, he feels like a guy who loves like the Twilight Zone, but he like, you know, he loves horror in general. Like it shows through in his work and in his interviews. He's talking about Midsommar, like that was one of his favorite films of the year. Like, dude loves horror, but like he wants to like his impulse is to make a very mass market version of horror, but. There's room for that. I love that, you know.
yeah, and he kind of he knows like, which is amazing because like coming as a first time director with Get Out and then with Us, like he has his finger on the pulse of what
Yeah.
that mass market wants, because both films have been hugely successful in a genre that generally does not have blowouts like that.
Yeah, like it's a genre that turns a profit, but it's not a genre that necessarily does like big box office.
Right.
I mean, when you say he has finger on the pulse, I was thinking about how, like, his movies have something to say. I think Us is a little less so, but I mean, there is a thing in there about the kind of like forgotten lower classes of society. That's kind of,
yeah,
it is saying something. It's just maybe not quite like Get Out cut deep. You know what I mean?
And Get Out is way more upfront with.
Yes, and this is
a little more subtle.
Assume this as just an entertainment. But if you like realize who's made it, and you know you're thinking a little bit, you're like, oh yeah, there is a little bit of a political message in here.
Which is not like, I do like a movie that kind of like, all right, yeah, somebody can just watch it and be like, oh, that was a cool like,
I dig that, yeah.
Story, but also like somebody can look at it and go dig a little deeper and go, but you know, not only is it a cool little story, but he's also like, you know, he has something to say here about the class system and about those people rising up, and there's a lot of cool in that movie.
Yeah. So that's, what's your number four, Chris?
My number four is a Chinese language film, The Wandering Earth.
Oh yeah. I remember you telling about this and not seen it yet.
It is a big budget Chinese sci-fi film. Think like Armageddon type levels. The Earth has it's kind of gone to shit. They've decided they're going to turn it into a spaceship, and they've created all these giant engines on it. But they get too close, I think, to Saturn. It's either Saturn or Jupiter. And it's starting to pull the Earth towards it off of their trajectory. And it's kind of like, all right, how are we going to save this? And you get to see all the cool shit explode. And it's better
than
like,
idea.
It's so dumb, but it's also fun. Like, it's like one of those Roland Emmerich movies, right? Like, but so much better done. Like that, you know,
really? I remember you saying that now.
But the characters are just like, visually, it looks great. Like, it hits like exactly what Roland Emmerich does the best. Like, it destroys shit real well. But this actually has characters like you care about, and even if you know they're a little goofy because it's part of a goofy sci-fi movie, the character work and the acting is a little bit better than what you generally get out of Roland Emmerich's disaster movies. They're fun. But sometimes it's just like, I just want to see how he like freezes New York or blows up Washington. And this, like, you're along for the ride. Like, it was a good fun time.
Cool. All right. Let's keep going. My number three, Chris, is Greta.
Okay.
Which is a fun little thriller that came out near the beginning of the year. I think you went and saw it as well. Like, we reviewed it together, right?
It was just outside of my top five here, so.
All right. This was, like, pretty much at number one for me for a while. This is a dumb, kind of trashy movie about, like, Chloe Moretz makes friends with this older lady played by Isabel Huppert. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Pretty sure I'm saying it wrong, but whatever. I think we're famous on this show for saying
we names. Can't pronounce anybody's name.
And this like kind of friendship develops, and of course she's like a crazy old lady. This movie is, you know, it's from director Neil Jordan, who's like usually this classy director. He's dipping his toes into pure genre trash, like. Kind of like it feels like a 90s thriller, and oh boy, is he do a good job of it. It's really fun. The like big moments, like the big aha like moments, just play so well to an audience. There's one with a finger especially that I remember the audience just going apeshit for. The acting, my crowd ate it up. It's a 98 minute little thriller. I actually would not mind seeing this again, even though I know where it's going now. It's fun. It has you know, what's her name? Maika Monroe from It Follows as her friend in it. You know, nice little cast, nice little movie that like he really fucking This guy also knows how to make a film, and he's going for like trash here, but he elevates it a little bit, you know.
I thought it was a ton of fun as well.
Yeah, it's one that I feel like has actually slipped under the radar a little bit, and people should definitely, like, this is a fun Saturday night at home. You order a pizza and watch this. Like, you're gonna have a good time. So, Chris, what's your number three?
My number three is Rocket Man. Wow. Dexter Fletcher's kind of biopic of fantasy biopic. Like, it's not necessarily a literal take on Elton John's early career. It's more musical, and more kind of playing with the fantasy of being a rock star, and maybe more how Elton John felt at the time than like the reality of the situation. There's some, like, the music one is just, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Taron Egerton is great as Elton John in it. It just plays real well, I think. I have not seen Bohemian Rhapsody yet, but which was so directed by, director of note, I guess, is Bryan Singer. But
of note?
Yeah. Like, on the credits, he is the director, but Dexter Fletcher came in and cleaned that film up.
I didn't know that.
Released. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he produced and then came in and, like, did the back half of the directing on it. But Singer, because of, Directors Guild rules or whatever, was still the director on the credits. But this is, by all accounts, way different from it. It's fun. Like, my wife and I really enjoyed it. It's just like a fun 2-hour musical journey following Elton John's early career. So
I've read accounts of people like applauding the music as it played, people coming out crying. So I don't know what, like, again, I'm not into these types of movies, I think, but I love Elton John music, and I'm willing to give it a shot hearing that. It's kind of like hearing that it's like more about trying to be a good movie over doing this typical biopic. Oh, we're going to show this and that. It gives me hope. I mean, am I right in what you're like, is that what
yeah,
you're
saying? I think it, you know, it plays more
like kind of like fantastical. Like,
yes, there are definitely moments where, it's not, but for a lot of it, it does kind of like take on, especially when the music is playing, it takes on this fantasy, like, musical approach to everything. And the way I interpreted it was, this is how Elton John felt while this event was happening. Like, his first, I think it's, he's playing the Troubadour in LA. So it's his first gig in America, and he's super nervous. And he comes out and, like, he just starts, when he starts playing, the crowd just reacts to it and he kind of takes off, right? Like both physically and performance wise, but also like mentally, he's flying in the air.
Elevating, yeah.
And like, that's how that scene plays out, is like he's kind of floating through playing the music, and
it's like you're doing something with that genre, at least. Then,
yeah, know? It's not like, all right, we're gonna kind of just show you the moments of his career. Sure, this does that, but it also kind of, it plays with it, has fun with it, and I think it maybe works a little bit better because of that.
Random side note: have you seen the trailer for that Bruce Springsteen movie that's coming out?
The one with the Indian kid, right?
Blinded by the Light.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the trailer?
I don't know.
I honestly am more interested in it for not being a biopic and being about someone who's a fan of the music.
Yeah.
And like how that changed their life. I think it's a really interesting spin.
It's definitely an interesting take on it. Like, I don't know if I would, I probably more likely to see this than like go see a biopic on Bruce Springsteen.
Okay. Yeah.
Like it just looks, yeah. Like seeing how this affected the music affected his life, and like the comedy that can play off of that, and you know, it's not the typical like, oh, you're not good enough to play music. Like, no, it's like it's more playing with, you know, this kid's drive and how the music works with him.
It's so, like, it's like,
yeah, how I think that you, might work a little better.
It's like how you connect with whatever your favorite band was when you were 17, you know, like it's
exactly.
I like that idea. Anyways.
Yep.
Let's get back on track here. Chris, my number two is Ari Aster's latest film, Midsommar. We talked about this last week at Lake.
Yes.
I think like, it's so funny. I've seen this. It's almost like, this has been a little over 2 weeks now. Feels like it was like almost 3 weeks ago now. And I think about this movie probably once a day. Like, I'm just like, that was cool. Or, you know, it was so cool how they made it look all trippy at the climax. Or, you know, I've listened to podcasts about how he really is an awful boy. Like, I kind of defended him as a boyfriend, and I still will. I do think, like, yeah, he's not, like, I'm not saying he's, like, an awesome boyfriend. I'm saying, like, he didn't deserve to be murdered. But anyways, I just can't get this movie out of my head. I loved it. I loved how great it looked. And, you know, the horror and the daylight aspect, the trippy aspect of it, the kind of humor to it. Like, you're watching, like, this, you know, kind of, like, relationship fall apart. It's funny and also, you know, scary and uncomfortable.
That's something the movie does real well is, you know, it mixes some humor in with this crazy ass situation that's going on.
It creates this level of anxiety and uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
With the humor as well, where it's just like, haha, I'm laughing, but also it's kind of an uncomfortable laugh because I recognize things that are happening in this. And I don't know, man. I think this guy, he's like our fucking, like, he's like the horror genre's P.T. Anderson or something. Like, this guy, he's a cut above, you know. This ain't no fucking Rob Zombie coming in and just aping shit. Like, he is doing the Wicker Man.
Oh, right, but like he has taken it and made it his own.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I would have preferred like Rob Zombie had taken Halloween and made it his own.
Not Rob Zombie.
Right.
He kind of did. He kind of ruined it.
But, no, yeah, I guess. Like, I'd rather would have him make a movie where he took inspiration from Halloween instead of making a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Maybe that's actually what I want to say.
I mean, he does, you know, Devil's Rejects. That was, I mean, Devil's Rejects is a great film, but it's doing Texas Chainsaw. You know?
I find him to be a fascinating director. I don't necessarily think he's a good director, but
Zombie, right?
Yeah, Zombie. I will go I'll still go see his shit, right?
I'm excited to see Three from Hell, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's probably going to be terrible, but
I never learned that last one, 31. Did you see 31?
Yep, it was awful.
Not good, yeah, not good at all, yeah.
But I continue to go see him because he's a guy that loves horror.
Yeah.
He just, unfortunately, he is privileged enough that he can make movies. And that's the problem, is he's privileged enough that he can do whatever he wants, and sometimes they're not good.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll give him this. Like, every once in a while, he can be like Lords of Salem, which I still chew on sometimes. Like, I've rewatched that and gone,
it's a weird film, right?
But it's like, it's not terrible at all.
Right.
It's different, but yeah. But Ari Aster is like, this guy could, you know, he's the chops to do whatever he wants, I think. And he's drawn to doing these horror films about that come from like places of like grief and suffering and really uncomfortable, like things that people don't want to talk about with even with friends or family. And he kind of puts them at the front and center of these horror movies. I really loved In Summer. Again, we went on about it forever. And I think we just said a whole bunch of different stuff kind of about it and Rob Zombie. Yeah, I Midsommar is like, it's kind of growing on me more and more. I'm interested to see it again, honestly.
My number two is also Midsommar, and I'm interested to see where our reaction, not ours necessarily, but the film community and the horror community in general's reaction to it, say, in 10 years? Like, does it?
I think it sticks. I think it sticks, yeah. Dude. I think Hereditary sticks, too. Whether you like it or not, it's going to stick. Like, it's going to be a movie that people talk about.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. I think it's going to be something that we talk about. Like, whether, and there's going to be people that are like, I don't like it. But
yeah,
going to be others that are like, yes, this is fucking amazing.
I will say this about Midsommar. I have not heard one person say they didn't like it. I have not. Like, I think
it's
reviews and everyone's liked it.
Infinitely more watchable film than Hereditary. Like, Hereditary has a phenomenal performance from Toni Collette, but
yeah,
it is a little all over the place. With its execution.
It just doesn't have that setting either. Like, there's just the beautiful, like, sunlit setting here, where it's just, like, it's always sunny. At midnight, you know, it's just, there's something about it, man.
When it draws you in, where, you know, Hereditary's was so dark and it was uninviting.
It's dreary. It, like,
meant to be that way, but it makes it hard to attach to things in it.
Yeah.
Whereas everything in this is attachable. Like, you're intrigued by the setting because it's bright and it's colorful and it draws you in. And you're allowed to be lulled into the nutso-ness of everything before it all goes to hell and it's too late. You're stuck.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like Hereditary's been on Prime for at least 6 months now or something. Right. And it's like, I have not rewatched that movie because it's just, it doesn't feel like a movie I want to revisit. Whereas Midsommar, like, it's tough and it's long, but it also had a lot of fun in it, a lot of beauty in it. And Florence Pugh is, like, you know, she was new to me. I was like, wow, she's really good. And just, you know, had a little humor. Like, I could see, like, despite its length, I actually look forward to seeing Midsommar again. And, I don't know, man. Like, I'm super, I hope he sticks with the genre. I know he's kind of sent, like, things against that, but good Lord, we need people like this doing horror movies.
Yeah.
Chris, what's your number two?
That was my number two.
So okay, okay, yeah.
What's your number one?
My number one is Knock Down the House.
Okay.
A documentary you can actually watch on Netflix. I reviewed it earlier this year. Follows four progressive Democrats as they're trying to knock out incumbent Democrats in the 2018 election. And all four of them are pretty compelling. I think two of them get a little bit more coverage in the film overall. But interestingly enough, one of those was AOC. And so, like, this is a case of someone being in the right place at the right time. Because they captured someone going from working in a bar to, you know, going to Washington. And that rise is really fascinating. Like, all the other characters, all the other women's stories in this are really compelling. One of the women's is, like, really, really heartbreaking because she started running for office because her daughter died not having health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And she loses, and it's just a devastating scene. Spoiler, I guess, but it's, you know, it's about a real life thing. In general, without giving away the end of the film, I think the last 10 minutes of this film are, like, the best ending of any film this year. Like, if you need something to get you to believe in America again, watch this movie. Which I think a lot of people probably need right now. So it's my number one right now. I think it's a really good documentary. Part of the reason is because it's on Netflix. Weirdly enough, it doesn't get, like, enough talk. Even though I feel like that should, like, make people be talking about it more. But anyone who has seen it has seemed to come out really positive on it as well. It's not just me being a super lefty, you know.
Right. Right.
Hey, I want, you know. I've seen other political documentaries this year. Running with Beto, I didn't even talk about on the show. I don't think it was fucking boring. Knock Down the House is pretty special, I think.
Nice.
What's your number one, Chris?
My number one is Us. It's, you know, it jumped up there early in the year, and we talked about it a bit already. But yeah, it's stuck there. I really like the world that Jordan Peele created there. I enjoy, you know, he is able to mix comedy with his kind of twisted storytelling as well. I really love the dad in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite part. Yeah.
And it's like he was having fun with, you know, because a lot of that movie feels like a slasher film, like in the early section of it. And he is having a good time, you know, playing with that kind of area of horror. And he's just like letting his characters go off, and it's fun to watch. And then I just love that you could present this thing where there's these doppelgangers, and that could be scary enough on its own, but he dives even deeper, as we said, like, and there's something in there that goes a little bit further than just like, hey, there's these creepy doppelgangers and they came from underneath the boardwalk. It's, you know, he's still trying to say something. He's doing it a little more subtly here.
We are Americans.
Yeah.
I wish she said, I can't do her voice, but
it's something like super creepy. Like that's, yeah, another one like that, I'm drawing a blank on, was it Lupita? Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah.
Great. She's excellent in it. Yeah, it's just so much fun. Like we, you know, we said there's not a lot here that we would like to re-see, but that's one that like I'm gonna buy. That's gonna go into like the, you know, the collection.
Yeah, I still haven't bought it. I'm kind of waiting for a sale. I don't know why. It's just I'm not like. I guess, you know, you obviously had it higher in your list than me, so I think you like it a little bit more. But like I do, it's one I want because it is like it's just one of those like kind of like at least decent budget, like kind of big crowd pleasing horror movies, you know?
Yeah, it's not, you know, the super special movie that we got like last year, but it's up there, I think, and it's still trying, and it's making the horror genre.
It's lifting the whole genre up with it.
It's great.
These type of movies like it lift the genre up with it. They do, I think.
It makes like because the mainstream can attach themselves to it, and it's not just the rock zombie shit, and it's not and just that.
You know, it might draw people, like mainstream people, and go, let's check out another horror movie, you know? Like,
right.
By the way,
go ahead. Well, when you get good marketing behind stuff, like, that's what can happen. It's just so many of these horror films, like, unfortunately, like, Crawl is a prime example of it, right? Like, I thought that trailer is phenomenal.
I think it's a good trailer. I mean, it plays to me and you because we know who he is as well. As soon as I saw his name, I was like, whoa, what? You know.
But right, like for us, it's like, oh, that's all I needed, right?
It
like,
tells you what that movie's gonna be.
Yep.
Like, it gives away actually a lot of it.
And I think it's a fun trailer to watch. But it's just, I did not see that anywhere else.
Yeah.
So like people that don't go looking for horror trailers and stuff, like they're not seeing that, and that's why they're not ending up going to see them, because while there's a huge, vast difference between like stuff like Midsommar and Us and Crawl, but it is something like, hey, we enjoyed those horror films earlier in the year, right? Like Us was cool. Like,
yeah,
this one looks fun. Like, and I just wish that some of these horror films could get better marketing, because stuff like Us and It, and they are elevating the genre and making it more mainstream and making people more aware of it.
Yeah. By the way, how are you, do you see the new It trailer?
I did. I liked it. I liked it more than that, that first one, which was
really, I thought the first one was really scene. Good. You didn't like the first one?
I just thought like, it was like, oh, we're going to show you this extended scene and then kind of jump into like a really quick hits, like of what's coming.
Yeah. I wish, I wish that like that trailer was a little longer, but I did love that extended scene because like it was a well done scene. Like by
And I,
that you're in the middle of it, you're gripped by it, and then she pauses,
yeah,
pauses, 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 and then just starts talking normal again. It's really cool.
that is an excellent shot. Like, and unfortunately, they wasted it in the trailer.
No way,
That's gonna
yeah. I wish I
be
didn't know about that. Like
like people that haven't seen that and maybe only see this the second trailer are gonna go in, and that's gonna be a shot that really grabs them, because it's super. Like, we saw it as it plays out, and it's super effective, like as it is.
you think she's gonna do something like evil or crazy, but she's just and so and blah blah blah.
Just
Like she just continues on and it's just like, oh
snaps
my
out of it and
God.
continues on. It's
That's
great.
even more terrifying, you know. Yeah, a lot of trailers dropped today. I'm excited for most of the stuff. But
Yeah,
anyways.
the other one, Jay and Silent Bob, what'd you think of that?
Yeah. I'm excited for it, man. I saw everyone on the planet shooting on it, but I guess I'm a Kevin Smith fan, so I don't
I
know.
think it looks exactly what I expect for
Yeah,
a
that's
movie
what I
called Jay
want.
and Silent Bob Reboot,
Yeah.
right? Like, look, I think Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back is maybe the weakest of his, like, that era of films.
See, I'm again. I guess I'm thinking about outlier on this. I think majority is with you. I think it's one of the strongest movies, dude. Like, I
Oh,
really
I still love it. Like, I think, like, it's
like
just.
it's pound for pound, like that. Like it's packed with jokes. It's just full jokes. Like it's so goofy. Yeah, it is cartoony, but it's just like here's a joke, here's a joke, here's a joke. You know,
Right.
like I appreciate it for that.
And I enjoy Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but yeah, for me, it's just not as strong as like his other films, but it's
I mean,
also
it's not Chasing Amy for
right.
you
It's not Clerks, it's not Clerks 2,
know. I mean,
it's not like, I mean, maybe Dogma is comparable to it, because Dogma is almost like this weird cartoon. There's a ship monster in it and stuff, but Jay and Silent Bob, like, it's also just kind of like a celebration of everything that
It was
you
like a
know he
summation, yeah, a summation of his career at that point.
loves. And I think that's what like this one is too. Like,
It's
it's,
like, yeah, exactly.
hey, I've made some shit over the last little bit. Some of it's been fun, some of it's not, but this is what I love, and I'm back making movies with my best friend, and we're doing some fun shit. We got all of our like famous friends that are way more famous than us. We got them to show up as well. It's like Ben Affleck's in the trailer, Matt Damon's in the trailer, like
I know, yeah.
tons of other people in there as well. Like, I don't know. It's
I'm
exactly what
hyped.
I expected, and it's kind of exactly what I want out of that movie. So.
Dude, I am hyped for it, and like it really like pains me to see like I saw a lot of critics I really respect like trash it. And I'm just like and honestly I've said this before on this show, like it feels like people like to pick on him, dude. Like I don't understand it because he seems like the nicest person ever, but I think that might be it. Like he's just like a nice person. Some people are, and you know he's like an easy target
Yeah.
because he's not fucking, you know, he's not Paul Thomas Anderson. I get it, right? But like he's a good writer. Like I don't know, it really fucking bugs me, dude. Like and yeah, he put out some like he's put out Yoga Hosers. I think I gave 1 star. You know, he's done stuff I've not liked, but like to be so like mean about it, like so mean spirited towards him is like kind of crazy to me.
Then I don't know how you don't look at that and go, oh, he's
He's
making
having fun with his
movie.
kid, like making a movie. Like,
Right.
it sucked, but whatever.
Anyway.
But yeah, I'm psyched for that movie. Dude, there was like a million trailers today. But anyways, I think I'm gonna call it right now, Chris. I think we're gonna take a quick hiatus, couple week hiatus, possibly actually. But
Okay.
when we come back, we will have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. At least I will. Are you planning to go see that, Chris?
I do plan to go see it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think next week, I don't feel like there's anything coming out. I mean, there's the Lion King, and that's kind of it.
I
And
don't know. My anticipate, like, I
I
have
just
no
don't care anymore.
for it.
I don't care anymore about these remakes. I just don't. And so even if we go see her or not, I don't feel like that's enough to fill an episode. And the following week, I'm actually going to be on vacation. So it'll be, like I said, a brief hiatus. But when we come back, we'll be able to talk about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as well as anything else we've seen in the interim. So,
yeah,
keep subscribed or whatever. And, there'll be a new episode coming with the new Tarantino film. So
we'll be back at some point.
Yeah.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.